necessarily those who are the best educated or possess the highest IQs. In fact, because of the way the formal education system is designed, it often squelches creativity. Much of what is taught in schools and universities today is simply memorization, which of course inhibits creativity. And the way math and other sciences are taught often only focuses on the logical side to the detriment of creative thinking. We take beautiful, bright 5-year-olds full of creativity and tell them to sit up straight at their desk, not talk, raise their hand when they want to go to the bathroom. Eventually, the school system beats their creativity into submission. Cherish your visions, nourish your creativity, and sow your ideals. Find the magic in your imagination. I know you're busy. Bills to pay, housework to finish, rush hour to get through, your job to do. I get all that. But find time to be a philosopher, photographer, writer, sculptor, musician, dancer, or poet. Feed the creative energy in you and watch a whole new world open up for you. It's no accident that creative geniuses like Jared Leto, Harry Connick Jr., and Jennifer Hudson excel in different disciplines. For entrepreneurs, the activity that requires the most creativity is innovation. All great entrepreneurs and all managers and organizational leaders who think like entrepreneurs face the need to innovate. Innovation is where the greatest breakthroughs live because we're getting away from what already is and creating what will be. Entrepreneur and social media evangelist Gary Vaynerchuk thinks of innovation as a religion. I was reading a post from December 9, 2013. Here's what he wrote. It's not a method, it's a mindset. Everybody's looking for tactics, but it's more about religion. So the reason my team and I stay ahead is we're built to stay ahead. We value the ROI that comes from the time we spend researching and pondering and debating and playing. We view that as a necessity. I don't think a lot of people consciously value oxygen, but you need it to stay alive. That's how I look at innovation. Creativity from logic. Lest you think mad genius is all lava lamps, mood rings, and burning incense, I can tell you logic most definitely plays an important role. I wrote this manifesto from my new apartment in downtown San Diego. Looking out my office window, I can watch the ongoing construction of a new office building nearby. It's this huge structure, takes up almost the entire block. Every week or two, they have to lay another concrete floor for the parking garage. Now, the interesting thing about that is when you float a concrete floor, you have to do the entire thing at one time. With big projects in urban areas, a job like this poses quite a challenge. To pour that floor, the construction company has to deal with lane closures, rush hour traffic, government permits, weather, union rules, just to name a few. Which is why I spent more than an hour or two standing transfixed at my window watching the process. On Tuesday, they had closed down 3 lanes on 10th Avenue to park a huge monster machine that would deliver the concrete to the next floor about to be laid. On Wednesday at 8 a.m., the process started when 10 cement trucks rumbled up. 2 immediately backed up to the monster machine, and 1 began dumping concrete into its belly. 2 more trucks pulled in front of the 2 unloading, 1 behind the other, forming a queue. The other 6 trucks waited behind the machine. 1 guy directed traffic at the start of the block, another guy in the middle, and a 3rd at the end. 2 guys with push brooms kept the street clean. 25 or 30 men worked on the rebar, smoothing the concrete as it was unloaded from the monster. It took about 6 minutes for the first truck to empty its concrete. Traffic worker number two stopped traffic so it could depart. The back truck of the two waiting reversed into the spot just vacated by the empty truck. Then the front truck backed up one spot, ready to replace the second truck now emptying its load. The first truck from the six in back took its place in front of the queue. Two guys with brooms cleaned up. 6 minutes later, the second truck left, and the whole process repeated itself. Another truck reappeared at the end of the queue. This happened again every 6 minutes without stop all day long. At 4 o'clock, the workers started erecting spotlights to illuminate the corner of the floor that hadn't been finished. Every 6 minutes, the dance repeated. At 4:30, the last truck emptied its load and departed just as rush hour began. The 25 or 30 guys on the floor worked together another 2 hours under the lights as the sun set, smoothing out the concrete. Being on the 22nd floor where I live, I had this perfect seat for the performance. You could bring in Debbie Allen, Nappy Tabs, or Travis Wall, and they couldn't choreograph a more stunning dance routine. It's the same when you go to the Atlanta airport and watch the beehive of activity from airplanes and luggage carts and cargo platforms. The synchronization requires logic that is poetic to get all the right people, luggage, and crews to the right planes. Logistical challenges like this, which we face in business all the time, require a precise, logical approach. But you still must be creative to find the logical solution. Fail more. One major thing that separates a successful entrepreneur from those who are not successful is their willingness to fail. Successful people fail all the time. We fail our way to success. We fail where others have succeeded, sure, but more importantly, we fail where no one else has thought to try. I said earlier, the opposite of success is not failure, but mediocrity. Failure is simply part of the success process. It teaches you lessons, develops your character, and allows you to modify your approach to find the right way to reach greatness. Remember, the entrepreneur who doesn't make mistakes doesn't make anything. Be the one. For many of you listening to this, it isn't a breakthrough product or service you're looking for. You already have an amazing one, and your challenge is how to create marketing that makes it stand out from the crowd. Some products or businesses become breakthroughs simply because they cut through the noise and make a splash in the marketplace. When everyone is zigging, you need to be zagging. Most business speakers customize their speech to the client, do pre-event research, attend the cocktail reception beforehand, and show up in the appropriate corporate attire. Except my friend Larry Winget. Larry will rock up to the platform in a loud shirt, jeans, and cowboy boots. He has no interest in pre-event research, won't attend your social event, and he'll deliver the exact same speech he gives to everybody else. Most consultants submit 30-page proposals, keep from making waves, and chase after payment. Alan Weiss refuses to do proposals, gets in his clients' faces, and demands payment up front, in full. I work out at a big gym, has all the usual safety requirements. There's a guy I see there working out 3 or 4 times a week who looks like a walking phone booth. And for you under 35 people, you'll have to Google phone booth to know what that is. This guy is inked from head to foot. And I mean literally, his head is shaved and he has gnarly tats all over his skull. This guy doesn't mess with no pansy boy machines. He does mostly free weights, doing 300-pound clean and jerks, skull crushers, and bicep curls with 95-pound dumbbells. Every time I have seen the man, he's wearing flip-flops. And no one ever tells Tat Dude he has to be wearing goddamn shoes. So here's the question. How do you take what Wing It, Weiss, or Tat Dude does and apply it in your own space? There are burger chains, and then there's In-N-Out Burger. There are female vocalists, and then there's Aretha. There are donut shops, and then there's Krispy Kreme. There are movie directors, and then there's Martin Scorsese. There are hardware chains, and then there's Ace Hardware. There are computer companies, and then there's Apple. There are branding, marketing, brainstorming, or product development meetings, and then there's Mad Genius. Change your thought patterns. The average person repeats thousands of the same thoughts day after day. Research has shown that these actually follow the same pattern and create ruts in the neural pathways of your brain. The more you disrupt these patterns and jump out from these ruts, the better chance you have to tap into your mad genius. Switch the wrist you wear your watch on. Try texting with your non-dominant hand or drive a different way home from work. You'll create new neural pathways in your brain. Creative people are self-motivated, independent, delighted by novelty, risk-takers, tolerant of ambiguity, deeply involved in their work, avid readers, and world travelers. These characteristics provide creative people with a very rich diet of stimulation, variety, and diverse experiences. They're exposed to a steady stream of new opinions, languages, cultures, and attitudes. They see a much broader spectrum of society, people in general, and the world. They see the same challenges handled in many different ways, which opens up the mind to problem-solving, lateral thinking, and innovation. When is the last time you really questioned your core foundational beliefs about money, relationships, religion, or government? Do you solve Sudoku puzzles, word games, brain teasers, and other things to stimulate your mental capacity? Do you watch or listen to commentators who have opposing political viewpoints from your own? Is your inner circle all people who agree with you, or does it reflect diversity of opinion? Read book series like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Go to science fiction movies like The Matrix and Inception. Listen to a different genre of music than you normally do. Study the way Aaron Sorkin crafts dialogue or Bill Simmons writes about sports. Go out for dinner and coffee with people whose hobbies, backgrounds, and jobs are dissimilar to yours. Read a foreign magazine occasionally. Take a college course in something you know nothing about. Go to Wikipedia and hit the random article link about a dozen times. One of the reasons I conduct so many mastermind sessions and leadership retreats in Las Vegas is so I can take the participants to see a performance by Cirque du Soleil. Being so immersed in self-development, I can't experience a Cirque show without seeing all of the parallels to success and achievement. Because at the end of the day, the Cirque shows are really about the triumph of the human spirit. They are about possibilities and potential, faith and belief. They will wake you up to the hidden child and artistic genius you may have lost touch with. Afraid that that achievement you're striving for is impossible? Check out some of the acrobatic feats in a Cirque show and you will have a new and bigger view of possibility. Feeling like your creative genius is blocked? Watch the first 5 minutes of any Cirque show and your creativity will be energized like you stuck your finger in a light socket. Need some motivation to get in shape? Take one look at the bodies of some of those performers and you will drop that donut like it's radioactive. The lighting, costumes, music, staging, and performances are such artistic genius. No one can be exposed to them without having their own genius inspired. Experiences like these disrupt stale thought patterns and help develop new ones. Virtually any Cirque show will unleash your imagination, nurture your creativity, and expand your vision. You will believe in the power of your genius again. Take a sabbatical. This very manifesto came to you live and in color from my own sabbatical. Although by the time you're actually listening to me, I will have rejoined the real world again. For me, this sabbatical has been the most brilliant experience I've ever gone through. It has jump-started my creativity in wondrous and profuse ways. You too might be at a point in your life or your career where a sabbatical is right for you. First, make sure you know what a sabbatical is and why you're doing it. Many people think a sabbatical is like a long vacation, but that's not accurate at all. Sabbaticals are really about learning and growing. I modeled my sabbatical on the concept of people who take a year off and do postgraduate work at Oxford University. And obviously, since Oxford would never accept a vagabond like me, I created my own learning program. My objective was a high-intensity, concentrated program of self-development and personal growth. Some days I read 3 books. Other days I watch 15 TED videos. Every day I do cardio exercise and weight training because no one can tap their true mental potential if they're not well physically. Not only have I gotten in the best shape of my life and become wiser, but I really feel this opened up many new channels for my creativity. Another consideration is the finances. It really works best when you have the money thing out of the way. If you're not there yet, set a goal for when you could take a sabbatical and work toward that. The other issue to think about is how to know when you're done. In my case, I left it open-ended. I wanted to travel, learn a language or two, finish this manifesto, create an online learning platform, and really accelerate my own education. You could do something like that, or you could confine it to a specific time frame like 6 months or a year. You can't wait until your inbox is empty to focus on the big things. Your inbox will never be empty, but your well of mad genius will be. Get out of bed earlier. On this sabbatical, I can wake up anytime I want. Yet most days I'm up at 5 a.m. There's something inherently spiritual about the early morning hours. Most of the world is asleep, and it's a great time for reading, writing, meditating, and other activities that nurture your mad genius. Read The Fearsome Foursome. There are 4 books that are breathtaking in the creative energy they offer you. 3 by Stephen Pressfield and another from Seth Godin. Every musician, writer, dancer, sculptor, and especially entrepreneur should read them. Here's what they are. The War of Art, Turning Pro, and Do the Work by Pressfield, and The Icarus Deception by Godin. I hope you've already read each of these 4 great works. Read them again, in order, in one weekend. It will be an orgy of creative stimulation that will leave you fired up and breathless to get back to your own artistic endeavors. Schedule thinking time. There may be no better way to innovate, think creatively, or brainstorm exciting new possibilities than spending time in quiet reflection. And in today's hectic world, you probably need to schedule that. Every week, make it a point to block off at least 45 minutes in your schedule just for thinking. Really. Play the what-if game. Bend reality and create new rules to think by. Propose the wildest, most outrageous, and preposterous things you can imagine. They don't have to be practical, possible, or even plausible. For a time, operate in a world where there are no rules, etiquette, laws, or standards. You escape the physical limitations of the world to see what your ultimate solution might be. Once you shrug off the physical limitations, your inspired thinking will be boundless. A great way to stimulate creative thinking is by asking the what-if questions like these. If it were possible, how could it be done? What if we started over from scratch and did it another way? What if we manufactured it underwater? What if there were no gravity? What if money were no object? How would a 5-year-old approach this problem? What if we manufactured in the dark? What if we assembled it in sub-zero temperatures? What if we get it done within 24 hours? Don't edit or evaluate the answers at first. Just allow the brainstorming process to unfold. Only after you've finished asking and answering your questions should you look back at the ideas you have generated. Then look for ways in which all or part of these ideas could be made practical. Think of the benefits you could gain by using a new idea and work out how you can achieve the same thing in reality. How could you modify the suggested solution to make it work? What changes in the world would you need to make that idea possible, and how can you make those changes happen? Extrapolate. Another useful technique is analogy thinking. Take an existing situation and apply it in a totally different context. Looking at what happens in unrelated industries can provide brilliant insights and inspiration into your own. For example, I once took the concept from a commercial promoting a radio station and applied it in a display ad for a hairstyling salon I owned. Often you can take a practice that is used in the oil exploration business and apply it in the healthcare industry, or vice versa. Creativity expert Victoria Labom harnesses her years of show business experience to teach experts, entrepreneurs, and executives how to communicate better. She often uses analogy thinking with her clients to produce powerful results. Here's what she told me. Many think they're not creative. We've heard that before from studies about adults versus children. But creativity is not some hocus-pocus voodoo talent reserved for the elite. Rather, it's a matter of tapping into what you already have and combining your unique interests and gifts in a new way. You're leading a company now, but were the drummer for your college rock band? Cool. Why not use drumming as an analogy for your next internal presentation? Talk about the importance of rhythm, coordination, and focus. You're a strategic planning specialist who's a fan of Letterman and comedy? Why not start your meeting with a top 10 list? Let's say you're a financial analyst whose daughter is a jump roping whiz. Perfect. Use jump roping as a metaphor to address the importance of timing when entering and exiting the market, planning your moves carefully so you don't trip and get whacked by the rope. You get the idea. Believe it or not, these are all examples from my clients, and they work. Theirs are the presentations that stand out, the ones that people remember long after the conference. Creativity requires courage. Courage to explore ideas and instincts, no matter how quirky they may be, to create a connection between two seemingly disparate elements, courage to put it out in the world. And even if it's not great out of the gate, the attempt will certainly be what I call the idea that will lead to the idea. And that idea will spur new ones. Very few people get it right the first time, but one thing's for sure. If you don't give it a shot, if you continue to do what everyone else in your field, industry, and cul-de-sac always does, you will never fulfill the full expression of who you are truly meant to be. Make love with the lights on. In the kitchen. On the counter. Go back to school. Figuratively or literally? My sabbatical has been a wonderful opportunity for me to work on me. But even without going on a sabbatical, you can always schedule time for self-development. Find some seminars, workshops, or conventions that will challenge your thinking, help you develop new skills. My practice is to always schedule at least 2 events a year where I'm not a presenter, but I attend only as a student. Get your jersey burned. We'll assume you already have customers, even fans. Maybe even a tribe of devotees who appreciate your work and follow you. But how much passion are you really creating? Do you remember back when basketball superstar LeBron James made his decision to go from Cleveland to Miami? The Cleveland fans were tearing down his posters and burning his jerseys in effigy. Probably you never want to be reviled and despised like that. But maybe you should. The reason LeBron created such vehement reactions, both positive and negative, is because he was the best basketball player in the world at that time. People loved him, and others loved to hate him. That means he matters. He's relevant. He's doing amazing things. Athletes change sports teams all the time. If they're mediocre, no one cares. If they're good, fans get upset. If they're great, people are passionate enough to burn their jerseys, hire skywriters, or perform some other public act to show their anguish and agony. If you want to be a thought leader, market leader, or change the world, you have to give up the need to be liked. Telling people what they want to hear makes you popular. Telling people what they need to hear makes you relevant, empowering, and significant. Don't pander to the masses. Speak to the people you really want to reach and be honest. Challenge them to do more and become better. And know, if you're not attracting some haters, you're probably not doing something significant. So that leads us to a fascinating question for you. Would they burn your jersey? Have at least one person who will call you on your shit. Michael Jackson and Amy Winehouse were creative geniuses. Charlie Sheen is too. But even geniuses need somebody who can tell them when they're off the rails. You need a couple people in your life who love you, tell you the truth, and will call you on your shit. It's vital to know that these are people who really want the best for you and aren't damping you down out of jealousy or limiting beliefs. Find at least one person you trust in this way and bounce ideas off them. Sometimes your work is ahead of its time. Sometimes it's so brilliant, others will have difficulty getting it. And sometimes it's just shit. Have people in your life who are qualified to know the difference and love you enough to tell you the truth. Break out the simple stick. In his book, Insanely Simple, author Ken Siegel relates incident after incident when Steve Jobs would disrupt a creative process at Apple by beating them with the simple stick. There's a fascinating story about when Mike Evangelist, the director of product development at Apple, went to the initial development meeting for the iDVD app. Mike showed up armed with all kinds of slides, screenshots, and explanations his committee had developed to demonstrate how the interface would work. What happened instead shocked him. Jobs strode into the room, ignored all their preparation, and walked up to the whiteboard. "Here's the new application," he said. "It's got one window. You drag your video into the window. Then you click the button that says burn. That's it. That's what we're going to make." Mike and his team were dumbfounded. But of course, that's the app that Apple eventually created. Their magic always was and is simplicity. If the project or concept you're working on has started to creep into complexity, it may be time to bring out the simple stick. Be ballsy. When you're working in areas like marketing and branding, having the guts to do something provocative, gutsy, or downright confrontational will often cut through the clutter and produce breakthrough results. The best stand-up comedians say what everyone is thinking but is afraid to say. The best branding works the same way. Say what everyone else is thinking, but no one has the guts to say out loud. One of my consulting clients was a direct sales company having difficulty attracting new distributors. They were running ads in the back of business publications, along with a bunch of other advertisers, 8 on a page, each competing for attention. I increased their response percentage by more than 10,000% by creating an ad with the headline, "Are you a schmuck?" It went on to make fun of the idea of spending anywhere from $30,000 to $1 million on a franchise to arguably buy yourself a minimum wage job wearing a paper hat. The magazine received a few complaints and they pulled the ad, but only after we had 3 print runs and more leads than the company could possibly handle. Another client of mine was a salon owned by a gay stylist that provided hair replacement systems for men. They were advertising in a publication for gay men. So naturally, I created a new ad with this headline and subhead. "You're bald, ugly, and queer, ... Fortunately, we can fix the first two." Now, like the schmuck ad, I warned my client that he might get some blowback, but I thought it was worth the risk. The result surprised even me. Not even a single complaint. Sales went through the roof, and even prospects who didn't buy called or stopped by his shop to tell him how funny they thought the ad was. In my own business, I was promoting a 3-day seminar with a pretty hefty price tag, and competing against dozens of other companies and promoters offering workshops, seminars, and boot camps. So I created a direct mail campaign that included this bulky envelope to get attention. Now, what was in this bulky envelope was an adult diaper. And the basis of the copy platform was how once they attended the seminar and saw the response rates we were getting with my marketing strategies, they were gonna crap their pants. We sold out the event. And speaking of seminars, and let me tell you what I did the last couple of years with amazing results. You want to know what the secret magic marketing strategy was? Yes, of course, I have a Facebook page. We built an email list, used social media and all the usual stuff. But the biggest differentiator was using old-fashioned direct mail because nobody else is doing it. They all think direct mail is dead and crow about how much money they're saving on printing and postage. So often my mailings were the only ones in the prospect's mailbox. I've done mailings that included $100 bills at the top to grab important prospects' attention. I've used shiny foil envelopes. I've even hired brownie troops to hand address each envelope and crayon. I've done mailings where the first page is missing and the top page says something like page two. Just for you. So if you're interested in the free car profit sharing and award trips I mentioned on page one, you must call me at 1-800-blah-blah-blah within 24 hours. Now, you'd be amazed how many people call demanding to know what page one was. And then when we fess up and tell them that we intentionally left it off to get their attention and get a response, most of them get a big kick out of it. One of my all-time favorite techniques was running a mailing list for two mailings. I mailed the first letter and got a certain percentage of responses who bought. We culled those names from the list and then mailed the same offer again to the remaining people. Only this time, hiring the brownies again, we crumpled up the letters, flattened them out, and had the brownies write with a red Sharpie at the top, "Please don't throw this away again." This usually boosts the original response by another 30 to 40%. And here's the thing. We actually got one or two hysterical people who called us and said they were going to call the police because they believed we dug through their garbage. There's a reason it's called mad genius. And obviously, this kind of in-your-face approach doesn't work for all markets, but it will work in a lot more markets than most people think. When everyone is zigging, you want to be zagging. Mind mapping. One of the all-time greatest techniques for getting creative juices flowing and really thinking off the chain is mind mapping. This is a process that's inherently creative, and all it requires is a pen and paper and your open mind. Instead of thinking laterally, which is the way most people approach an idea, you explore and expand an idea in many different directions without a logical pattern. This allows you to come up with new and fresh perspectives that you couldn't otherwise. Here's some suggestions. Connect the dots. Use lines, arrows, shapes, colors, and codes to indicate relationships and connections between ideas. Fill the page. Start with a central image or word to focus the eye and brain and trigger associations. Then let one idea lead to another. Be clear. Print keywords with only one word on a line. Create your own style. These are guidelines, not rules. Discover what works best for you. The scamper technique. Here's a technique from Bob Eberle and Alex Osborne that is used to develop more creativity in the workplace. It's a helpful technique for exploring solutions to a challenge. Scamper is an acronym for the seven different ways you can view an idea. This process might seem silly at first, but it's the kind of technique that lets bold, daring, and imaginative ideas come forth. Remember, creativity is like a muscle. It can be strengthened with exercise, and the scamper technique can do that for you. So let's break down the initials. Substitute, combine, adapt, modify, put to other uses, eliminate, reverse or rearrange. Here's an example of scamper using an umbrella. Substitute. use a plastic bag stretched over a wire coat hanger. Combine. Add a radio and digital clock to the handle. Adapt. Make it useful for joggers by attaching it to the body. Modify. Make it big enough to cover several people at once. Put it to other uses. Use the tip for making holes or picking up litter. Eliminate. Take away the metal spokes that are always bending. Reverse or rearrange. Have the umbrella fold up instead of down to catch the water. Whether you're looking to redesign a product, create a new market, or rebrand a longtime institution, the scamper technique is a great way to get your lateral thinking process engaged. Start behaving like a child. One of the best and most creative ways to approach any situation that's in need of innovation is to think like a five-year-old. That's the point in most people's lives when they were at their peak creative state before it was beaten out of them. Children at that age don't concern themselves with things like government regulations, social etiquette, or accepted practices. They just focus on what they want to accomplish and how it can be done. Yes, the Panama Canal, Great Wall of China's, and the pyramids are breathtaking. But do you have a clue how astounding a can opener is? Kids have a sense of wonder about the entire world. Elevators are mysterious. Escalators are amazing. And airplanes are magic. When you seem stuck on a challenge, stop seeing it through your grown-up eyes and try to picture it as a kid might. Make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, drink some chocolate milk, go outside and play on a swing for a while. Break the rules. If you want to write a song, there are certain structures to follow. Unless you decide to break them all and create something brilliant like Ed Sheeran does. If you want to produce a popular television show, be mindful of scale, number of characters, and the limitations of the small screen. Unless, of course, you want to produce Game of Thrones, the most successful television show in the world. If you want to sell books, do it the way it's been working for at least 200 years. Unless you want to create something like Amazon. If you're going to compose an opera, you have to do it keeping in mind the limitations of the human voice. Unless you're Wagner and you want to create something that will still be mesmerizing people centuries later. If you want to create a fantasy blockbuster, make sure to ground it in a believable reality. Unless you want to produce something epic like Harry Potter, Dune, or Interstellar. If you're going to manufacture a utilitarian product like a telephone, stick to the basic functionality. Unless you want to create the iPhone. When it comes to rules, here's the only one that counts. Know the rules and be willing to break the rules as long as you know why you're breaking them. Stop settling. You see that a competitor has a strong market share, so you decide to just cede the space to them. Nobody's ever done it before, so you decide it's better not to attempt it. You launch your cutting-edge, innovative product, but market it with boring, conventional advertising because that seems normal. You build a cookie-cutter website because all the other companies in your industry do it that way? Stop it! That's the way the herd thinks. But that kind of thinking won't take you to where you want to be. I wrote Risky is the New Safe, and now this manifesto, because I knew that for most people and companies, The biggest obstacle they face is thinking it's safe to play it safe. And nothing could be further from the truth. The rules have changed, and playing it safe is actually the riskiest thing you can do today. Please, stop playing it safe and take a risk, because that's where the breakthroughs live. Stop living safe and start really living. We are entering a decade that will offer exponentially accelerating growth, hyper-development, and disruption like the world has never witnessed before. The challenges you're about to face are more daunting than any you've ever experienced. They're more daunting than challenges anyone has ever experienced. Even if you're on top right now, the whole world could blow past you next month. The entrepreneurs and companies that succeed in the new economy will have to do so in wildly different ways than have ever been attempted before. Leaders are born in turbulent times, and we are about to enter the most tumultuous time in human history. Not in 50 or 75 years, but now. Managers will need to learn how to manage through disorder, directing harmony amid chaos. Leadership will require more critical thinking, creativity, and risk-taking than ever before. It will require mad genius. We're going to need to find answers to the most perplexing questions and exhilarating possibilities humankind has ever faced. The greatest hope for the world will not be found in political debate, more government regulations, or even higher learning. It's going to take a higher level of thinking, higher than what we've been employing up to this point. And the people most likely to discover the answers we will desperately need are artists. Not just any artist, but the ones who proudly call themselves entrepreneurs. The past is behind. The future is beyond. It's time to make art. We're about to enter the age of the entrepreneur. Socialist philosophy and well-meaning entitlement programs have failed us. Collectivist bureaucracies, nanny state control, and one-size-fits-all thinking must die. We must recognize that all prosperity is created in value-for-value equations. It's time to unleash the awesome power of free enterprise to restore balance to the equation. We still need compassion, empathy, and the arts. We need government to protect private property, especially intellectual, a court system to adjudicate disputes, and a military for our common defense. But we have to stop governments from penalizing success, choking innovation, and protecting the incumbents. We must merge art and enterprise to produce new thought processes. Which brings us back to you, the entrepreneur, the challenges you will face, and the extraordinary opportunities that will be hidden in those challenges. It's the perfect time to get your mad genius on, because there has never been a better time to go from broke to multimillionaire or even multibillionaire than right now. The critical thinkers who ask and answer the right questions will lead the companies and ventures that capture market share in the new space. They will be the visionaries who create bold new products, reinvent entire industries, blow up tired assumptions, and create thermo-fucking-nuclear. What happens next? It's only fair to warn you. Once you make this commitment to building something thermo-fucking-nuclear, you can be sure of certain things happening. First, some people will doubt you. Others will ridicule you. Some may even attack your ideas. If you're really doing something thermo-fucking-nuclear, you're certain to have some haters. Don't be worried about the doubters, cynics, or haters. Be worried if you don't have any. And know this, the haters don't really hate you. They hate themselves because they don't have the guts to do what you're doing. But here's where it gets really, really scary. Some of those people who would try to hold you back won't be readily apparent to you. They're the person in your committee meeting who just wants to play devil's advocate. Or the member of your church board who's done it that way for the last 40 years. They're the VP in your Monday morning meeting who wants to point out how similar initiatives have failed, or the investor who wants to know how fast they can get their investment back. What they're really saying is, I'm afraid. And they're especially afraid of the people who are not afraid. Don't hold any malice against these people, because they don't have any malice for you. They honestly believe they know what's in your own best interest. And sometimes they actually do. But most of the time, they bought into the story of the mysterious people and assume they are protecting you from the bad things that happen to those who ignore the secret system that runs the world. The people who buy that story live their lives in fear. Don't buy the story. Fear-based decisions produce fearful results. This is the moment to be bold. Don't wait for somebody to appoint you. Make the first move. It's not about being discovered either. The world has discovered millions of superstars and forgot them in a matter of weeks, days, or even seconds. Mad genius is about discovering yourself. Those who discover themselves are the people the world remembers. Don't be one of the millions who coasted through their lives and died with their genius still left untapped. If you hoard your mad genius, it withers away. When you share it, it grows stronger. Your mad genius might involve your job. It might be the job you have after this one, or it might be the thing you do outside of your job. One thing I know for certain, the universe won't give you your next assignment until you're overqualified for the one you're doing now. Please, stop playing small and step into your greatness. Too many people in the business world are waiting for their fears to subside so they can act. So they never do. Mad genius entrepreneurs aren't fearless. We know there will always be fears. But we act in spite of those fears. And often because of them. Be bold. Be daring. Be imaginative, because the world needs mad genius right now. And you are just the person to provide it. This is Randy Gage. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Mad Genius, a Manifesto for Entrepreneurs. Executive producer, Janet Stark. Text copyright 2016 by Randy Gage. Production copyright 2016 Penguin Random House LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.